Our scripture reading for today is James chapter 1, verse 5 to 8. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. And before we go into our message for today, let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Holy Father, we thank you, Lord, that by the precious blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, we may enjoy fellowship with you. It is through him that we have access to you and through him alone. So we put no confidence in our flesh, no confidence in anything that is in and of ourselves, but our full confidence, Lord, we place in your Son, Jesus Christ, who is our only source of reconciliation with you. And so, Lord God, we pray as we consider the things of eternity, as we turn to your word, that you would remind us, we who are your people, through faith in Jesus Christ, of the transience of this earthly life and all the treasures therein, and the substance and everlasting treasure that you have laid up for us in Christ Jesus in heaven. And we pray, Lord God, that we may treasure the things pertaining to eternity. For our lives are so short. But Lord God, what you have in store for your people through your redeeming grace cannot be compared to this short life. It is everlasting and it is eternally good, immeasurably better than the best that this world has to offer. So Lord, we pray that this would be the foundation of our joy and peace in this uncertain life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to remind everyone that we are continuing with our series in the Epistle of James, picking up where we left off last week in the first chapter of this epistle, moving on to verse 5 to 8. The focus of today's text is a subject of great importance for Christ's suffering saints, and that subject is the subject of wisdom. As we were reminded last week, life for the believer is not a bed of roses. Christ does not promise his followers an easy, carefree life. The Christian life can be filled with various kinds of trials. Our sojourn in this evil, godless world can very well be marked by intense suffering, the hostility of a world dominated by the devil, the pains of disease, decay, and death, the hardships and problems brought about by human depravity, our own personal struggles with temptation and sin. All of these things are sources of suffering for Christ's servants. There are times when we can be perplexed and confused and distraught by the trials we face, uncertain of what we should do, uncertain of what the Lord would have us do. And in those times, we are in sore need of wisdom. We need a passage from Scripture suited for what we're going through. We need some principle from the truth of God's Word to give us understanding and assurance amid our difficult situation. We need wisdom. And today's text assures the body of Christ that if we find that we lack wisdom, God is ready to dispense it upon those who ask. He will give to his children wisdom, provided that they ask in faith. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him, but let him ask in faith. Brethren in Christ, all who trust in him as Lord and Savior from the heart, do we need wisdom? Are we troubled and confused by some difficult circumstance we're facing? Unsure of how God would have us go through it? Well, today's text is for you. Listen carefully to the word of our Lord, so that we may know how we may obtain his wisdom that we so profoundly need. And so we read in verse 5 of our text, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him." Well, some of us may know, back in 2021, I underwent surgery for metastatic thyroid cancer. And because of the possibility of recurrence, I need to undergo routine screening throughout each year. By the grace and mercy of our Lord, my condition so far has been stable. But that's not to say that I don't struggle with anxiety, because certainly I do. Anxiety over the possibility of recurrence has been a struggle for me over the years. I've spent considerable time in prayer asking the Lord for help and guidance, dealing with my anxiety over issues related to my condition. And one passage from Scripture that has repeatedly come to my mind in response to prayer has been Luke 8:22-25. So I'll read that for us. "One day he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, 'Let us go across to the other side of the lake.' So they set out. And as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in danger. And they went and woke him, saying, 'Master, Master, we are perishing.' And he awoke and rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and they ceased, and there was a calm. He said to them, 'Where is your faith?' And they were afraid, and they marveled, saying to one another, 'Who then is this that he commands even winds and water, and they obey him?'" As we can see in that passage in Luke 8, Jesus, our Lord, commands the winds and water. The winds and water obey him, as does all of nature. In his absolute sovereignty over creation, there is nothing in all of existence that is beyond his authority. When he says to the windstorm, "Be still," the wind ceases. When he says to the windstorm, "Come," and the winds roar. If he says to cancer, "Come," cancer appears. When he says to cancer, "Be gone," cancer vanishes. Cancer, like the wind and the waves, obeys the Lord. If the Lord appoints cancer for me, it is for my good. As we learned in last week's text in James 1, our trials are given to us to test and prove the genuineness of our faith. And what is the value of having a tested and proven faith? Well, it gives us assurance of eternal life. Remember that text we looked at last week? Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. That's what trials are for. It's for testing our faith. Genuine faith perishes when exposed to suffering and trials. Counterfeit faith perishes when it is exposed to suffering and trials, whereas genuine faith withstands the pressures of suffering and trials. So it is for my good, if that is what the Lord appoints for me. If the Lord appoints cancer for me, it is for my good, to teach me the transience of this earthly life, so that I may learn to treasure the things of eternity over temporary things. It may even be the way the Lord will bring me home to Him. And what is that? That is ultimate good. And so it is all for my good in Christ Jesus. If the Lord keeps my cancer stable, as He has so far, or even banishes it entirely from my body, which could be a possibility, then that too would be for my good, so that I may be freed from bodily care for the time being, in order that I may better focus on His work and service. And so when the Lord reminds me of His sovereignty over all things and His power to work all things together for the good of those who love Him, I find peace for my troubled, anxious heart. And that is the Lord's wisdom. In those times when I am afraid and troubled by the specter of cancer, the Lord has heard my prayer for wisdom, just as our text promises, giving generously without reproach. Brethren in Christ, if we are troubled and perplexed, sorely in need of our Lord's wisdom, what does our text teach us today? It teaches us to ask. Ask the Lord for the wisdom we need. We may feel foolish as we struggle in areas others seem to handle so well, but as our text assures us, the Lord will never reproach us when we seek His wisdom in prayer. People reproach us when we admit our foolishness and ignorance. They scoff at us, they mock, they sneer, and we feel humiliated, and we're afraid to go back to them and ask for help. But we, as children of God, never need fear that from our Lord. If we lack wisdom for any circumstance, go to Him and ask in faith, and He will give us the wisdom we need generously and without reproach. He will remind us of forgotten truths concerning Himself, concerning His saving grace, concerning His will for His people. He will bring to remembrance passages of Scripture to shed light into the darkness of our confusion. Many a believer can attest to those times they have cried out to the Lord for His guidance, and as they earnestly search their Bibles for His wisdom, a text would leap out at them and arrest their attention. And in that text, they saw the answer to their struggle, and their inner turmoil was immediately put to rest. If any of us lack wisdom, ask God, and He will deliver. He will deliver, provided we ask in faith. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. We have a clear explanation of what it means to ask in faith in Romans chapter 4, verse 19 to 21. Romans 4, 19 to 21, this is what we read there. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. So this is a passage concerning Abraham. What did God promise Abraham? He promised Abraham that he would become the father of many nations. Although he was old and Sarah was barren, God promised Abraham that he would multiply his offspring beyond numbering, as we read in Genesis 15:5. And he brought him outside and said, "Look toward heaven and number the stars if you're able to number them." Then he said to him, "So shall your offspring be." And what did Abraham do? Abraham believed God. He put his faith in God, trusting his word. Although he and Sarah remained childless, Abraham knew God could not lie. If God promised to him a son, and through that son offspring like the stars of the sky, his age or Sarah's age or the barrenness of her womb would be no obstacle. God could be trusted to do as he promised. So what does it mean to ask in faith? It means to ask of God, fully convinced that he is able to do what he has promised. So we read in Romans 4. God promised to Abraham offspring, and Abraham was, in verse 21, Romans 4, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. God promises to all who are in Christ wisdom to those who ask, provided they ask in faith, provided they are fully convinced that he is able to give wisdom to those who ask it of him. That is what is meant, to ask God for wisdom in faith. Means to ask him, fully convinced that God is able to do what he has promised. And again in James 1, verse 5, God has promised that if any of his children, if any who are in Christ, ask him for wisdom, in faith, he will give generously without reproach. Of course, that condition is very clear, but we must ask in faith. What does that mean? It means no doubting. Doubting is the opposite of faith. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. Now, if you look back at Romans 4 and verse 20, you'll see the word there, waver. And that word waver, in the Greek, diakrino, is the same word translated as doubting in verse 6 of James 1, today's text. So we look back at Romans 4, 20. No unbelief made him waver. That word, it's translated as waver, again, it's the same word. It's translated as doubting in verse 6 of James 1. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God. So when we understand what is meant by wavering there in Romans 4:20, then we get a much clearer idea of what is meant by doubting. See, Abraham did not waver concerning the promise of God. He was not divided in his thoughts. He was not at variance with himself. When God gave him the promise, he didn't think things like, no, it can't be. I'm too old. Sarah is long past childbearing years and her womb is barren. I understand that God has promised, but just look at my circumstances. It sounds like a stretch. I don't know if I can believe this. I don't know if I can believe God. Abraham did not waver like that in response to God's promise. See, to waver is to argue with ourselves. The promise is too great, too marvelous. So we waver, going back and forth, debating whether we should believe or disbelieve. And that's what's meant by doubting in our text. It is to waver between believing and disbelieving, never settling on a position. And we can waver concerning God's promise in today's text. We may think, could God really provide wisdom for this problem I've been struggling with? This issue that's been troubling me for years, and I've gone to so many people and no one seems to be able to help me. Can God really provide me wisdom for this problem? Well, that's what the text tells me. But what if I pray and I pray and I pray? Nothing. And I just wind up disappointed. I don't know. It just sounds too fantastical to believe. See, that's to be at variance with oneself. That's to argue with oneself. That's wavering. That's doubting. Our text compares a doubting person to a wave of the sea. Verse 6. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. See, a doubting person is like a wave of the sea, up and down, can't make up one's mind about God's word to us. Double-minded. Constantly vacillating between believing and disbelieving. Wavering. Not fully convinced that God is able to do as he has promised. And if we ask for wisdom with that kind of attitude, we should not expect to receive wisdom from God. Verse 7, for that person must not suppose that he'll receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man. Double-minded, vacillating, back and forth. Do I believe? I can't believe this. Maybe I should believe this. No, I can't believe this. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Once again, God promises to give the wisdom we ask for, provided we ask in faith without doubting. Fully convinced that God is able to do as he has promised. Brethren, if our trust is in Christ Jesus for eternal life, are we not fully persuaded that God is able to save us from our sins, from hell, from his own holy wrath, through the saving work of Christ, his Son? amid all of the uncertainties of life? Isn't this the one thing that is certain? My only hope of eternal life, my only hope of peace with God, is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Isn't that the confession of all who truly trust in Christ? We don't waver at that promise, do we? That's not something we can't make up our minds about, is it? Yet that promise is far greater than the promise of today's text. So that's why we should not doubt, brethren in Christ, the promise of today's text. The same God who has promised us eternal life through faith in Jesus, His Son, also promises to provide His wisdom to all His children who ask, provided they ask in faith. Our problems right now may seem so complex to our puny minds, but to the infinite mind of God, those problems are basic arithmetic, utterly simple. So don't doubt. Go and ask Him for wisdom. Humble ourselves and ask Him for the wisdom of His Word. Ask Him in faith. And once we've asked Him, turn to His Word. That's the source of His wisdom. Turn to His Word and search for the relevant passages. And as we read, cry out from the depths of our hearts, as the psalmist cries out in Psalm 119, verse 18, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. As we seek out His wisdom, make that our prayer. Open my eyes, Lord, that I may see wondrous things out of your word. Meditate on Him. Meditate on His ways. Seek the counsel of mature, tested believers. Listen to godly, scriptural preaching. Pray in faith and persist in prayer. Don't give up if the wisdom doesn't come to us immediately. Jesus taught us in Matthew 18 that we ought to persist in prayer and not lose heart. Persist. Keep at it. And surely, as God has spoken in today's text, if we ask Him in faith, He will give to us the wisdom that we seek. Let's pray. Holy Father, insofar as what has been preached from this pulpit is in accord with your wisdom, the Word of God, and we pray insofar as what has been preached from this pulpit is the product of your Holy Spirit's anointing, we pray that we, who are your people, who have turned to Christ in faith by your regenerating grace, and in whom the Spirit of God dwells for our sanctification and assurance, we pray that we would listen and apply what we have heard. For you have promised, Lord, to give us wisdom for any circumstance, provided we ask in faith. We pray, Lord, we will not waver at this promise, vacillating, not able to make up our mind whether it's trustworthy and true, but that, Lord, with our whole hearts, we will believe your word as Abraham believed your word. And so ask in faith so that we may be enriched by your wisdom, persisting in prayer, not giving up just simply because the answer of wisdom didn't come immediately, but persisting in prayer. And we have the assurance of your word that as we ask in faith, you will give it to us generously without reproach, for your own glory and for our comfort in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.